Yo, what is up YouTube? It's T-Hatch coming back at you with another video. Today, I'm going to be talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo in relation to the Milwaukee Bucks' recent exit from the NBA playoffs. Obviously, for NBA fans, everybody had really high expectations for Giannis this year, especially with this Bucks team that came into the playoffs with that number one seed in the Eastern Conference, the best record in the entire NBA. And after a second straight MVP season, it really felt like it was time for Giannis to take that next leap in the playoffs. That is, he's taken the leap in the regular season, but to take that extra leap in the postseason and become that kind of guy who can will a team to a victory, even in a playoff setting where the other team is going to be heavily game planning for you, and in specific, Giannis Antetokounmpo. This time around, they got swept out with a gentleman sweep by the Miami Heat in the second round of the playoffs. And shortly after, Giannis went onto his Instagram account and actually unfollowed everyone except for his family on Instagram. So this is really a typical sign of a star on his way out. This is typically one of the early warning signs. This is one of the things that we see after the rumors about a guy leaving, after the speculation, after all these things, and kind of the same timeline is happening here with Giannis. So what I wanted to focus on for this video is, what would some trades for Giannis look like? Because he's going into free agency in the 2021 offseason, and that's a really tough spot for Milwaukee to be in unless you're absolutely sure that Giannis is going to re-sign, because he is such a high caliber guy that he's not really the type of guy that you can just let walk away for nothing. But he's also so high caliber that he's really one of those guys that you can't let walk away without trying everything that you can to get him to stay. So I definitely get the spot that the Milwaukee Bucks are in. It's, you know, kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. But nonetheless, I wanted to look at what some potential Giannis trades would be if he goes to Milwaukee's front office and demands a trade, or if Milwaukee determines that they're probably not going to be able to re-sign Giannis, which they should be able to figure out pretty early, because pretty soon here they'll be able to offer him the Supermax contract extension that he is eligible for. Obviously, if he takes that, he's staying. If he doesn't, there's a good chance he's gone, because he can make a lot more money with Milwaukee than he can with any other team, especially on that Supermax. But I wanted to look at a few trades. I want to get this one out of the way first, because I'm going to be honest, this one's just here because I'm a Jazz fan. So it would be the Milwaukee Bucks trading with the Utah Jazz. Probably never going to happen. I don't see why the Bucks would do this, but nonetheless, it's here. It's a potential trade. So I'm going to throw this up on the screen because it's a big one. There's a lot. You should definitely follow along with your eyes for this one. But the Bucks would send to the Jazz Giannis Antetokounmpo, George Hill, and Robin Lopez. In return, the Bucks would receive Rudy Gobert, Royce O'Neal, Georges Niang, Tony Bradley, Nigel Williams-Goss, and Mie Oni, in addition to 3 first-round picks and 3 second-round picks. That is the maximum of first-round picks that Utah can trade to Milwaukee in this deal, because of the Stepien rule that only allows you to trade, or does not allow you to trade, draft picks in consecutive years. So looking at this trade, what would the idea be? The idea would really be to bring in a package of picks to help you build for the future, while also bringing in a current all-star, a two-time defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert, and a guy who can really come in and command that team, command that defense, and be something new for the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, interestingly enough, this trade is showing with no change in projected wins, but I'm just going to let you imagine what would happen with Giannis paired with Donovan Mitchell and Bojan Bogdanovic in Utah, versus what would happen in Milwaukee with Chris Middleton as your number one scorer and Rudy Gobert as your second best player. I don't know how that's going to work out. We saw how it worked out with Mitchell and Gobert in Utah. So, if I'm honest, I don't see the Bucks doing this trade, even if they do need to trade Giannis, even if the Jazz are interested, even if the Jazz offer this. I don't really see why the Bucks would do it. Now, you could exchange George Hill for Ersan Ilyasova. Really, that spot is designed to let Milwaukee blow some salary over to Utah to make the numbers work on that. But I digress, probably not happening anyway. So now on to some trades that I think may actually happen if Giannis was available. And I'm actually going to start with the Boston Celtics. So what we've got here in the deal, first what Milwaukee would send. Milwaukee would send Giannis Antetokounmpo, Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, Robin Lopez, and Ersan Ilyasova. In exchange, the Bucks would receive Gordon Hayward, Kemba Walker, Robert Williams III, Romeo Langford, Grant Williams, three first-round picks, including this year's 14th pick from Memphis, as well as two second-round picks. So the idea here for Milwaukee would be, okay, we have to get rid of Giannis at this point. You know, if they're considering trades for Giannis, he's gone. So considering that we've got to get rid of Giannis, what can we bring in to help us actually be competitive with the guys that we have, or at least set us up to where we can start building something for the future? So the idea with this trade is you're getting Gordon Hayward, a guy who, if he accepts his player option, that is, would be on a 1 year contract that would be expiring. So you would essentially be able to erase that money from Giannis off of your books. Or if you want to see it as you're erasing Eric Bledsoe's contract, you can see it as that as well. You're also getting Kemba Walker, a guy who has shown that he has the talent to be a number one scorer in the NBA. I think the combination of Kemba and Chris Middleton would be quite effective as a scoring duo. How would it be, you know, compared to Giannis and Chris Middleton? Tough to say, but this is a move really focused on the future for Milwaukee. I would probably see them at that point trying to find a trade for Chris Middleton as well, move him somewhere else that will give maximum value for Chris Middleton, and eventually in the future possibly move Kemba Walker as well because he does have 4 years remaining, and that's if you're doing this in the 2021 offseason. So you would definitely have the opportunity as the Milwaukee Bucks to really start to rebuild that roster around a new star that you're able to find. And it would definitely would give you a head start headed into next year to not be an absolutely terrible team, having Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward on the roster, still having Chris Middleton, and having that 14th overall pick this year, where you could go get a guy that you can potentially plug right into your rotation right away. So that's really the perspective that would make this trade make sense. That said, you're losing Giannis. And the best thing you're getting back is Kemba Walker and a 14th overall pick. That doesn't really add up to me. That doesn't really add up to me. And that's what's so hard about a Giannis trade. What adds up to Giannis? Basically impossible to say. Now, as you can see on that trade, the projected difference in wins would be a 36 win increase for the Celtics and a 36 win decrease for the Bucks. That would not be a happy time for Milwaukee Bucks fans. So next, I want to move on to another trade that I think is somewhat realistic for Giannis, and that it was going to be with the Washington Wizards. A little bit of a probably not a team you expected to hear in this discussion, but you'll see why. So as you can see on the screen here, Milwaukee would be sending Giannis, George Hill, and Ersan Ilyasova to the Wizards. In return, they would receive John Wall, Troy Brown Jr., and Rui Hachimura, as well as an absolute treasure chest of draft picks, starting with the number 9 overall pick in this year's draft, but in total they would be receiving 4 first round picks. They would also be receiving 6. I was going to say 5, but there's one more. 6 second round picks. This is the move if Milwaukee wants to move to the future. This is also the move if Washington wants to go all in with Bradley Beal. Just imagine for a second the combination of Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bradley Beal. Oh my goodness. Watch out, Eastern Conference. As you can see, that would be a projected 54-win increase for the Wizards combining Bradley Beal and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, I don't think it would necessarily be a 54-win swing for the Bucks, especially seeing as John Wall would actually play, whereas he did not play for the Wizards last year. But this move is not focused on John Wall. This move is not focused on being competitive. This move is focused on the future and how you can build for the future. Now, you would be committing to 3 years of $40 million a dead cap on John Wall, unless you're able to find some other crazy deal that lets you move off of John Wall. But this move would really be committing to hunkering down with what you've got for the time being and really selling off those guys for whatever assets you can get when that right trade comes. So that would be a Chris Middleton. That would be a Dante DiVincenzo. You know, all these guys on the roster that they have put together to play around Giannis and the play style that they believe is best with Giannis. Well, those guys would probably start to go because you're not really building that around John Wall. And John Wall, Chris Middleton, and the rest of those guys, I don't see that being any sort of competitive roster. Now, of course, there is a chance I'm massively discrediting what John Wall is going to do when he returns to the NBA. I hope all the best for him. I really would love to see prime John Wall right back into the NBA being himself. That would be awesome. I just want to keep realistic expectations for what we can expect for a guy coming off of a torn Achilles. So moving on to my final trade. This one is the blockbuster of all blockbusters. It is with the Houston Rockets. And this would be two massive superstars who are rumored to be on the move this offseason. Giannis for James Harden. Follow me here. The trade would be Milwaukee sends to Houston Giannis Antetokounmpo, George Hill, and Ersan Ilyasova. In return, they get James Harden, Daniel House, and a first-round pick in 2022, as well as 4 second-round picks from Houston. The reason for that, Houston is just depleted on first-round picks at the moment. They would need to give as much draft capital as they can possibly give to Milwaukee in a trade like this, primarily because you're moving, yes, from one MVP to another, but Giannis is at the very beginning of his prime. 25, 26 years old at the time of this trade. I would have to double check. And he's a 2-time MVP back-to-back. Even though James Harden is already an MVP, he's at the end of his prime. He's getting close to where it starts to slow down. He's not there yet, but he's getting close. And making that swap, you would really, really have to love what James Harden could do for you and your team. I could see that being a good team. I think James Harden paired with Chris Middleton and the rest of that roster would work out pretty well. I think they'd be able to adjust to a kind of Houston-like offense there in Milwaukee. However, it would definitely be different under Coach Bud than things were under Mike D'Antoni in Houston. But I think they could find success. I think James Harden would have success in Milwaukee, and I think the Bucks would have success with James Harden. That said, what would the Rockets do at that point? So you've got Giannis now, you still have Westbrook on the roster, you still have this crazy weird roster built to shoot threes around James Harden, and now you're out of draft capital. You have nothing left that you can trade as far as draft picks to add value to a trade and essentially help you swap a worse player for a better player in exchange for that draft capital. So it's a really, really tough spot to be if you're the Houston Rockets at this point, because now you're trying to find a trade for Russell Westbrook, who's on one of the most expensive contracts in the NBA and is off multiple seasons of showing that he's not the guy in the playoffs. He's the kind of guy that gets you exited from the playoffs. He alone can tank a team's chances to win in the playoffs. And you're combining that with a guy like Giannis, who has had his own struggles in the playoffs. Now, yes, Giannis is at a much earlier point in his career. He's still at the point where he's taking his lumps, figuring out what he's got to do to be able to win at a high level. So I think it's different for Giannis than it is for Westbrook. But what is similar is the way that teams are able to game plan for these guys in a way that has completely shut them down from their team's game plan and made them at times detrimental to play. Now, I don't believe Giannis Antetokounmpo has been detrimental to be on the court like Russell Westbrook has at times. However, I do think he's been neutral at times, which for a superstar, a two-time back-to-back MVP, is unacceptable. You have to be the guy. You have to take over. If Donovan Mitchell is putting up better playoff performances than the two-time back-to-back MVP, the problem's with the two-time back-to-back MVP. So you got to figure it out, Giannis. Now, that said, again, you got plenty of time to figure it out. You have a long career ahead of you, and you should take your time. There are going to be hard lessons you have to learn. Nobody gets it right the first time. Everybody fails. And I think we need to keep that in perspective as we're watching Giannis. Let's not forget how many times Jordan failed on his way before he finally made the finals, and then two three-peats after that. Now, I'm not calling Giannis Michael Jordan. I'm not saying he's going to go three-peat. I'm not saying he's going to do that twice. I'm just saying let's wait. Let's see how his career plays out, and let's enjoy it for what it is. Let's let this be part of his story, not part of the narrative meant to put him down, lower his confidence, and make him less than he is. Let's enjoy Giannis for who he is. Let's enjoy James Harden for who he is. Let's enjoy Russell Westbrook for who he is. Because despite his failings in the playoffs, he is still an incredibly fun player to watch play basketball. Go out there and dog it every single night with that energy, that fire. I love it. So let's just enjoy the NBA. Let's enjoy basketball. Let's enjoy this game that we all love. So that out the way. Those were some trade ideas for Giannis Antetokounmpo, a couple potential destinations for him being the Utah Jazz, the Boston Celtics, the Washington Wizards, and the Houston Rockets. Let me know what you guys think below of these trades or of any trades that you have come up with yourself. I would love to see those below. But all that out the way, I definitely appreciate you guys tuning in today and watching the video. As always, if you want to help this show grow, the absolute best way to do so is to simply share this with your friends. So hit that share button, send it to your friends, and also subscribe down below. That subscribe button, I actually found out recently, not everybody knows that that's free, but totally free, just lets YouTube know that you like my content and want to see more of it. So definitely hit that button, and I look forward to seeing you in the next video. Peace.